Hey, this is Danny G, and I'm here at the Rose Garden tonight with my favorite Valentine. What's your name?
My name is Miss Belair.
Welcome to the Rose Garden, Miss Belair.
Thank you.
I'm so excited tonight to talk about our topic. One of the reasons that I started Talk That Danny G was so that I can fulfill my lifelong dream of becoming a sex therapist. My sister has challenged me lately and said, when are you going to start doing some adult content and start talking about sex? And there is no person that I would enjoy having this conversation with more than Miss Belair as we talk about sex today. So today's topic, Intimacy 101, testing.
Yes.
The testing.
Most important part about sex, right?
One of the most important parts of establishing a healthy sexual foundation is knowing yourself, knowing who you are in every way. And that includes knowing your status, knowing what's going on with your body inside and out before you engage in any experiences with other people, because there can be circumstances or outcomes that are less than desirable if you don't do testing 101. So let's break that all the way down, because I said that in a really nice way.
Nice and casual.
That was really nice. So testing, STI testing, testing for sexually transmitted infections. And so what that means is that in our state, you can go to get tested as young as 12 without consent in some places. Yes. And so the reason that I know that, and the reason that I am a fan of Planned Parenthood in spite of its sordid history, is because when I was in elementary school, I was walking down the street with some of my friends, and it was a Planned Parenthood on 95th and Halsted. And I was walking down the street, and a woman came out, and she was like, excuse me, ladies, do you guys want to learn about your bodies?
Really?
Yes. And that was when I decided that I wanted to become a sex therapist. So we went in Planned Parenthood. She taught us. She showed us, like, some models, gave us some little bags, like, all of this stuff. I was in elementary school. Most people would have been like, oh, my God, that's so young. That's too young. And I think I have mixed feelings, because that is incredibly young. But to be a Black girl on the South Side of Chicago, you need to be informed.
I mean, especially, I think, because you, at that age, at least at that age for me, I knew what other people were doing. I knew people were doing these things. And even though I wasn't, and it wasn't my world, I'm sure the same for you, you were still very in it and hearing all these things. So you should learn.
I've been involved in all kind of worlds in my quest on being a sexpert. And so I've had conversations with, like, all kind of people who've had all kind of experiences. And what I definitely remember at 13 and at 12 and at 11 and 10 is that people had expectations on what my sexual experience was going to be based on my body. And nobody talked to me.
Really?
There was no conversation around sex. It was just what I remember. And this was not that it wasn't done maliciously, but it just wasn't talked about like a child should be informed.
Right.
It was just, she's too cute to come up pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was the answer. And so because of this trusting adult who saw some young Black girls walking down, probably trying to think we was cute, switching down the street. Mm-hmm. And she brought us into the into Planned Parenthood and gave us all of these resources. That's why I was able to be informed at such a young age.
And at some point, that probably changed somebody's life, you know. Well, it changed yours, clearly. But, I mean, I guess it could have probably saved one of the other girls' lives. Like, we don't know what encounter where they needed that sex education that really helped.
And I stayed, like, even throughout high school, I stayed involved with like going to Planned Parenthood, so to make sure that everybody had condoms. Mm-hmm. Like, even in high school, I was the person who, if a person needed a condom or if a person needed to go get tested, I know where we can go. Even
That's
in high
so
school.
Funny.
It's so for real, which makes sense, which is why when I got into college and it was like, hey, there's a sexual health peers, we do these workshops on campus, blah, blah, blah.
You didn't go. you were like
first semester. I'm like, hey, workshop, what's going on? I can finally be the sex therapist. Which took me, so I was a sex therapist. I was not a sex therapist. I was a sexual health peer for freshman, all 4 years, but junior year is when I applied to be the undergraduate HIV counselor. And so, as you can tell from my walking down the street on 95th and Halsted going into Planned Parenthood, now to being a junior at the University of Illinois who's been involved with this work since I was 13, who's been involved with this organization for my first 2 years, my third year, the role was usually reserved for seniors because they wanted you to be mature to be testing your peers for HIV. Right. But I wrote an essay. And I proved myself worthy. So they let me do it. So I was the HIV counselor, the undergrad for 2 years. Okay. And so.
That's how we met. Yes. Me, Danielle, did my first HIV test. That's so crazy. And then fast forward almost 20 years or something like that. Oh my God.
Yeah. I did. And I think if you ask a lot of my friends and family, I am the person that gave them their first HIV test.
You used to have kits, now that I'm thinking back.
Yes.
You used to have kits like in the backseat of your trunk.
Yes.
Test us. Like, that was like our thing before going out to the club. Like, who wants to get tested? I can't believe
and not in a wasteful way. Not like everybody get tested, woo woo, kids out the window. But like I was reporting these, I was doing HIV tests in my car. I became a mobile tester. I have done everyone's HIV test at work. We had, and this was my first job out of undergrad. We had a storage of HIV tests that were upstairs. We had like 15 and they were going to expire in 2 days. And they were just going to let them expire. And I'm like, we're not going to let these expire. So that's how I would always have these kits, because they would just let them expire. And I'm like, no, there are people who need to know their status. I will make sure that somebody takes these kits. So I will be like, yep, sit down. Yep, fill this out, because they were anonymous. Yeah, there was always no names, no needles. So I will walk up to people on the street and say like, hi, my name is Danny. I work at this place. Have you heard of us? Well, when was your last HIV test? And nobody ever was like, girl, get away from me. Like, people would be like, huh?
Because what's crazy is that I think still up until very recently, HIV was just associated with gay people. Mm-hmm. And homosexuality in the Black community is taboo. So that if you are coupling those things, because regular people or people who know about HIV know that that's not the case. But hypothetically, if you connect the two, then you automatically connect not talking about AIDS.
Yeah.
Because people in the Black community don't want to talk about homosexuality.
Yeah. And if that's under that umbrella, we don't talk about none of it.
Yeah.
And so like people would come with me to get tested. And so I specifically remember getting all of those tests done and me being proud of myself, my boss not being impressed, and my coworker being like, oh, I see you really coming in here being, you know, super. And it was like, no, I see that neither one of you looks like the demographic that we're hired to serve. Y'all don't look like the people that I'm out here engaging with, so I can see why you don't care.
Right.
So yes, that was my first job out of college. But yes, back in college, I did your very first HIV test.
Yes, you did.
Yes. And I have done many of our friends and family. And I think that that's part of the challenge. People feel afraid and they feel alone. Mm-hmm. And they don't know who they can talk to say like, well, can you come with me? Or can you tell me where to go? Because I don't necessarily want to go with my doctor. I don't know if they still do anonymous HIV tests anymore. Hmm. I'm not sure, because I know the game has changed. I've graduated from undergrad 12 years ago.
No, that's why I was like,
ugh.
But I feel like maybe they don't do anonymous, because now, don't they keep it recorded?
They may.
Because people are trying to kill people with it. Like, there are stories of people who have been tested positive and who purposely go try to infect others.
There are people. So I used to do risk reduction for people who were already infected with HIV. And so there are ways that people who are infected can still have sexual relationships with people. That's why it's really important to always wear condoms consistently and correctly, wearing the appropriate material, not wearing a lambskin or sheepskin or anything that is not designed to prevent the transmission of these different bacteria and viruses that can go. And so there are ways that even if people do test positive, they can still have sex, and it doesn't mean that they are trying to infect people on purpose. But it's true. There are some people who know their HIV status and they choose to engage in unprotected sex. That is illegal. That is illegal. Like, that is not a behavior that people should engage with. And that's why I think it's really important for people to go and be tested and know their status from the beginning, because there are also situations where people are with someone and they've never been tested, and then they find out that they have been infected with an STI and they think that their partner is cheating. But in reality, if you were never tested from the beginning and you can't establish the baseline that I know when we got together, this was my health report, right, and I know that this was your health report,
right,
we don't know where it came from. Like HPV, human papillomavirus, is super common, and it can lay dormant in the body for years, like years. So that's why it's important to get tested early, before you start getting into a relationship with people. I think it's important to get tested, depending on, you know, your sexual activity, get tested annually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when I was in this, I've known situations where people were getting tested like every 6 months or even more, mm-hmm, just to keep up with it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's your body, so you got the freedom to do that if you need that consistency, because just like anything else, like cancer, you don't want to find out at the last minute when you could have done things to keep you healthy the whole time.
Yeah, and also pay attention to your body. Like, mm-hmm, if you know that you had an encounter with somebody and stuff feels different or smells different or itches a little bit too much, or what is this new discharge? Like, go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, do not ignore that. Sometimes the body just goes through different stuff, you know, sometimes. Other times, it's an STI, mm-hmm, and they are still very common, incredibly common, and the STI rates are still high, which is crazy, because I'm like, okay, in the 80s, we get it. It was all new. I used to have to do, like, risk reduction counseling for grown-ups. It was so hard. Me, little 22-year-old me, trying to tell a 40-year-old to wear a condom, because he like, girl, I used to, and it's like, brother, listen,
like,
sir.
Hey,
first of all, this is not that time. They was talking about like the graying of HIV, because there would be different sex workers who would go to nursing homes around payday. Just got paid.
That is so funny.
Friday night.
That's because STD rates were going high.
And older people, yeah.
In these homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so crazy.
Yeah. And it's like trying to educate an entire generation on, like, listen, I understand that you used to be able to have this sexual experience free and all of that great. Uh-huh. Now the game has changed,
so
brother.
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
If it got into, this is for me being just silly, but if it got into the old folks' home, who grandma was out, somebody's nana was out there shaking it for daddy and brought chlamydia into the old folks' home?
No, it's the young gals. I said the sex workers.
Having sex with the men?
Yes, I said on payday. I said the sex workers just got paid.
Oh my gosh, I didn't get that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, yes.
Now I get it.
Yeah, I mean, granny's shaking it too, but that accounted for. Okay. Yeah, that accounted for some of it back then when they were talking about like these STI rates increasing. But think about it, humans are sexual beings. Mm-hmm. Like, bodies, we masturbate like in the womb, like we touch our bodies and things feel good, and we don't understand the societal associations until we get shamed for it later. So, like, you know, old people want to get some, young people want to get some, middle-aged people want to get some, and that's why I think it's really, really important that we start to take away from the censorship and the stigma of it. Like, we have to talk about it because people have to get tested. And I remember my mom let me test her. So she came down to, I don't know if you were down there when we were doing confessions, the HIV awareness performances in college. Mm-hmm. She came down to one. And so her friends came down. They let me test them. Yeah. And they were, I think they were having it when you still down there. They were talking about some older people, like their age, so maybe like 50s, having to go to the doctor because they got the clap. Yes. Yes.
The term is so old.
Yes. And it was like, how do you get the clap? And it's like, how do you get the clap? Like, are y'all that far removed? Or everybody, but everybody didn't get sex ed. And I have to realize that now, like, everybody wasn't walking down the street and a sexual health outreach worker came and said, like, hey, young woman, let me educate you on your body. Like, everybody didn't get that. So, like, no, and they weren't necessarily doing it accurately because people sometimes want to, you know, pass down those myths trying to scare somebody straight, like trying to scare them into doing what you want them to do.
Right.
And so it's like.
And I think that's how it was for me. My mother had me young, and so the sex discussion for us wasn't that. I think I went to Planned Parenthood in high school with a friend. I didn't go with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had me young, so for her, it was just don't have sex. Like, that was the discussion.
And so that can't be the discussion. Like, that, so now as a grown-up, and I look back on how I see some of my peers, what I hear them saying about the younger generation, even when I hear the comments that women make about, like, the R. Kelly situation, mm-hmm. and thinking about who I was as a 13-year-old, even if girls are engaging in certain behaviors, that doesn't mean that they understand.
No, not at all.
But that's what everybody says. She know what she doing. No. She know what she doing. She knew what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as an adult, if you think...
Frontal lobe is not completely developed. So she knows nothing.
She knows nothing. And so I think it's up to us as women to inform and educate younger women and not treat them the way that we were necessarily treated because we're afraid of the outcomes. Like, well, I don't want them to have sex, so I'm not going to tell them. Well, did that work?
Right.
Like, did it work for anybody that you know? And so, especially because the STD rates are still high. And my question is, like, how? If we were educated, how come we have not passed that on? Why is the CDC having to tell people not to reuse condoms? How is that a conversation? Like, how is that a conversation?
But I think it has a lot to do with people thinking it'll never happen to me, or I'm a good judge of person. I can tell if somebody, no, you can't. But
no.
People think that.
You can't. And that's another reason I love working with young people, because the teens used to tell me how you could tell. So there were several tests. One was the earwax test. You were supposed to put some earwax on your finger and then stick your finger. So first of all, sexism. It only works for girls.
What?
Yes, it only works based on vaginal secretions and the interactions with your earwax. That was one way. My personal favorite was that they thought that if you used antibacterial gel as a lubricant, you would kill the STDs. I thought that the logic was great.
Yes.
I thought that the logic was great.
All types of pH balance are thrown off.
I said, these poor baby girls' vaginas.
That's gotta
if
hurt.
Y'all think that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Yes.
That's like pouring alcohol on life.
Yes. Ugh. Yes. And so that's why I'm like, okay, kids, we got to talk. Like, because y'all can't listen to each other because the logic is there. I get it. You think like, well, if this chemical and we should be able to tell because it's off, it's an infection. So we should. No. Sometimes you can tell. Sometimes you cannot.
That's
sometimes there are symptoms, sometimes there are not. And that's why it's important to get tested. If you are afraid, find a trusted person that you can talk to, even as a grown-up. Like, if there's, you find a friend, a sibling, somebody. And then, you know, even once you get your test results, there are still, like, ways that you can go forward and continue to be healthy, adopt healthy behaviors. But the goal is just to get tested. Like, that is it. Like, number one, go to your doctor, figure out what you can do to get tested and reduce the stigma around it.
Yeah. It doesn't get any less scarier. I feel like there have been plenty of times where I'm just with the one person for a long time and I go get tested and I'm still scared.
Oh, yes. But it's, I'm always scared.
Control the other person. So even if I'm doing right, I don't know about this other person, but you still got to do it.
And see, I'm not even afraid that my partner is being unfaithful. Just the entire process is anxiety provoking for me.
Yeah.
The entire process is scary. Yes.
And then when you wait and you think to yourself, ain't no way that shit took that long.
Yeah. It's like, well, could I? Well, did I? Like, did it just, what? Well, because back in the 90s, like, no, none of that shit is real. It's just scary. It is intrusive as heck. I'm not necessarily talking about like an oral swab. I'm talking about just going to the gynecologist as a woman is intrusive. So like that just makes my anxiety, my blood pressure high from start to finish.
Speaking of which, I'm shopping for a black gynecologist. If anybody knows a good one.
That's true. Yes, if you know a black gynecologist, and I am not pregnant, but I think I want to know about natural childbirth. In college, I took human development family studies. Did you ever take an HDFS class?
I don't think so.
My professor talked about having a water birth.
I want to do that.
I want to do a water birth.
I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but it's linked to this, but black women and health and how so many statistics show up, how doctors don't take care of us like other people.
Yeah.
Which is connected to STDs, right?
Yep.
Because you got to know yourself. You can't always trust your doctor, which is why you have to still be careful afterwards.
Yep.
Unfortunately, sometimes they don't take care of us. So.
No, they don't. They, not all, but the data has shown.
A lot of data has shown.
Yes, that for whatever reason, our pain is not read as pain. Our words are not accepted as what we saying that they are. And I do. I really want to look at different natural childbirthing methods by, like, with a doula.
Mm-hmm.
Because
my
I do.
My friend just did it, and she had a really good experience.
She had a good experience?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, I do. But I also think, because to take it back to, like, knowing your status and that going back to intimacy 101 and knowing your health, you got to consider all of your health considerations too.
Because
I do have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Shout out to me being stressed every day, all day, every day.
You gotta know yourself.
Yeah, you have to know yourself.
You know yourself.
And it can't be scary because it's you, like you all you got.
Yeah.
So you can't run from going to get tested, whether it be for breast cancer, whether it be for HPV screenings, which is that whole when they go and take a sample of your cervix. That stuff is extremely intrusive and can be very uncomfortable, but you have to, we only have our bodies.
And that's what saved my life this year, which is another topic we could talk about when it comes to health, which is about the women and pregnancy, black women and pregnancy and pain. But yeah, listening to my body saved my life this year. So that is important. After getting tested, just paying attention as women. I don't know what happens to men, but women, pay attention to your mucus and like your cervical fluids and things like that year round. I mean, monthly, so you know this is normal. This looks normal. This is normal for me. Okay, well, I ate this. Maybe that's why it's, you know, but yeah.
That's very true. And I think, especially if you grew up and you were taught or you learned that anything in your panties meant something was wrong with you, which is not true. It is a self-cleaning organ. Like, your vagina cleans itself. Like, you will have discharge. Different women have different types of discharge. And that's why it's important for you to be intimate with yourself so that you can know your discharge. So if your discharge is off, you go get tested.
But this woman, I never even took a mirror, a hand mirror, and looked at their vagina before.
That's because crazy. People have been so shamed to, and I mean, women's vaginas, women's bodies are not celebrated. They sexualized.
Right.
They are objectified, but they're not celebrated. So, like, who would say, take a mirror and look at your vagina? Like, unless a trusted adult came and said, you should go and explore your vagina. Boys see their penis.
Right, it's right there.
It's right there. They grow up flopping it around.
Right.
Girls, you can't even touch yourself, or it's, don't touch down there. Mm-hmm. Like, so you, it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. Like, legit call it a box. Like, it's a mystery. Nobody even looks in it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you have to be, and you got to be really, really comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. You have to be. And that's hard, though, because it can require for some people undoing and unpacking and unlearning a lot of, like,
right,
behavior, right, that you believed from, quote, trusted adults. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think we have to be responsible and tell the younger generation, like, girls, age-appropriate sex education is so important to, yeah, me. My boss was telling us about her son being in this age-appropriate sex ed program, and I was so impressed. I loved it so much. Like, he was able to use his words age appropriately to, right, describe stuff, and it was no shame associated, right, with it. It was no lust associated, right, with it. It just was. Right. The shirt is red.
Right.
That's how he can say penis and vagina.
I mean, and it, you know, should be that way.
And it should be.
Anything else, you labeling people freaks, and it's like, no, I just am very open and honest, and freak isn't such a positive word to be labeled, but
unless you took it and you owned it, mm-hmm, and you like freakily, like, mm-hmm, yes, freaky, get your freak on, all the freak songs, but yes. Thank you for coming and talking with me today about intimacy and being tested and not being afraid and being comfortable exploring yourself and looking in the mirror and understanding your discharge and being comfortable knowing your body, because as you said, knowing your body saved your life.
Yeah.
So it is a matter, it can be a matter of life and death. Well, it is a matter of life and death, actually. Yeah. Knowing what's going on with your body, especially in this way, because this is preventable. Mm-hmm. STIs are preventable. So, like, you knowing your body empowers you and enables you to be able to move forward with confidence as you engage with different intimate encounters with different people. And it's not saying, like, well, you can only ever be with one person ever. No, you can date people. You can have sex with people. But there are ways that you can do it safely and ways that you can do it responsibly. Yes. And so that's it. Do you have any last words that you would want to say? On intimacy 101, testing, not being afraid.
No, I think that's it. Thank you for having me. And people out there, like Danielle said, know yourself. You gotta know thyself. That's it.
Know thyself. All right. Thank you for being here, Ms. Belair. This is Danny G, and the G is for gone.